This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
And we'll talk about it a little bit with Dave Fleming, who's going to be joining us shortly. As I mentioned, Dave Fleming, voice of your San Francisco Giants and our 95.7 The Game insider. And Dave Fleming is brought to you by Rafael Lumber and Building Supply, serving contractors, homeowners, and the community in Marin for over 50 years. Visit their showroom today as he joins us on the River Islands guest line. Good morning, Dave. Joe Spadoni alongside Joe Shasky. Tough loss yesterday, but Stephen Rizzotto, the guy working the board today, let me know, that was the second highest attendance ever yesterday at Petco Park, over 47,000 people. Did it feel like that in the building, Dave?
It absolutely felt like that. We tried here's a little inside baseball for you. The press dining with the Padres do many, many things well. Press dining is not one of the things that they do very well. So we often will just go to the broadcast booth, the press level. You can walk out the back door and kind of be on the club level of the ballpark. And it's a very open ballpark. And so there's several places to go grab a quick bite right close by. And like an hour and 20 minutes before the game, we walked outside figuring, oh, let's go get a bite to eat and we'll eat out there. We could hardly walk. It was so crowded. We couldn't get anything. The lines were so long. So we just sort of walked around and walked right back inside. Every spot in that ballpark was taken last night. It was quite a night to be there. 47,000 people were. I think they list the capacity of the park at like 42,000. So it was a cool night to be there. They got it going on down here.
Yeah, they do. And that pitcher had it going on as well. I thought he was, you know, dealing for the most part, and he's been on fire. He's been as good as Logan Webb has been this year, if not a little better. I look at this team right now and like, obviously there's concerns on the lineup and there are specific guys, but Adames, though the numbers don't look great, for his last, let's see, I got last 7 of his last 25. And to me, it's just the at-bats look better. And he hit that ball yesterday with that backspin to right center. You're never going to hit that at AT&T. That's not a home run at AT&T, or excuse me, Oracle Park. But it was really nice to see him get that swing off early and to see how excited he was. I feel like he's coming around. He's got to heat up here, right?
For sure. And he's going to. I mean, and if you look at historically, we looked it up yesterday, his numbers in the first month of the year are by far the worst numbers for his career, by far, not close. And the best numbers for his career are August and then September. So he's a guy who does tend to kind of build into the season. He tends to start off pretty slowly. I think there's definitely an element of trying to prove himself with his new contract. I think there's definitely going to be an adjustment period to the home ballpark. And exactly what you just said. I mean, I think my only worry about Adames in this first month has been, is he already trying to change his approach to pull the ball more, getting pull happy because he doesn't get rewarded for those hard hit balls out to right center field. I hope that doesn't happen. And I think when you watch last night, you think it's not happening. He still has that approach. So I am confident that Willy Adames is going to have a good, solid year for the Giants and hopefully even better than that. He's always been a slow starter, and this year, obviously, no exception.
Talking to Dave Fleming here on the Morning Roast, Giants broadcaster, obviously, for the San Francisco Giants. So there you go. Talking about struggles with this team offensively, Willy Adames hopefully getting it going, but another guy, he did have a double last night in Lamont Wade Jr. advancing on a throwing error to third. The batsman's struggle. I mean, Shasky said something this morning. I was like, he has 9 hits in total this season. Yeah. I think he told me 9. It's been a struggle for Lamont Wade.
Him and Bailey have just been.
That's what I'm getting at right now. Him, Patrick Bailey. Of those two guys, Dave, and obviously Patrick Bailey getting the walk-off over the weekend, encouraging. Hopefully that can be a springboard going forward. But What are you seeing from Lamont right now as a guy that starting the season, we were talking about being a leadoff guy and setting the tone. And right now he's struggling to batting at the bottom of the lineup. What are we seeing or not seeing from Lamont right now that's got you concerned?
Definitely better the last week. Definitely. I think when you see the walks come for Lamont, you know he's feeling more comfortable. That's always got to be a big part of his game. And when he's not chasing, I think that tells you, okay, now he's seeing it much better. But the beginning part of the year, what was so alarming was he wasn't walking and he was striking out so much. So it was like, man, he's just out of whack. That is not the case anymore. So I think we're going to get normal Lamont Wade here going forward. It was a very encouraging night for him last night. You know, there hasn't been a ton of oomph behind his batted balls. He smoked a couple on Sunday. I thought that was the best sign of all, just hitting it harder. There have been a lot of instances this year of Lamont, you know, like squaring it up. It looks good. It sounds good. And then you look down at the Statcast and it's 95, not 105. The thing about Wade as opposed to Bailey, like Patrick is, he's playing a premium defensive position and playing it well. Lamont has to hit to be a valuable player. He just does. And that's true for every first baseman, maybe other than like, you know, JT Snow or Keith Hernandez. Like, you know, you got to be so good on defense at first to account for struggles on offense and really be helping your team. So that's where the difference, I think, between those two players is. I think Patrick's at-bats have been a lot better here in the last 3 or 4 days. That's encouraging to me also. But Wade is the one where it's just hard for him to contribute. He's not a fast base runner. He's not going to be stealing bases. He's got to hit and be on base to be a valuable player.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And, you know, they do have more speed in general. Like, but you look up and stolen bases, they're like in the 20s, you know, in terms of their team speed. It's the strikeouts. They're striking out a lot. They do get some walks. It's just you're never going to have a lot of power from a lot of this lineup. So, you know, the lineup is one element. The starting staff is the one I'm a little more concerned with. ERA is not bad. It really isn't. But they've been anchored by this bullpen. Number two bullpen ERA, only team above them, the Padres. Birdsong has been amazing. Miller's been amazing. Randy Rodriguez, Doval, Rogers. Is there a chance maybe they put Birdsong into the starting rotation to kind of give a bolster to that side, or is it a little too premature?
I would say that's premature for two reasons. Number one, Birdsong is thriving in this role and has been a big reason for the Giants' success. Like, not just the games that he's pitched, they've generally been winning because of his contributions, but also because he just has saved. You know, they just went 17 games without an off day early in the season, and not only didn't overtax their bullpen, some guys needed more work. I mean, I've never seen that before, really, truly. The bullpen was managed beautifully over those 17 days. Birdsong gets a lot of credit for that. So I think that's reason number one. Reason number two is the veteran starters that they have are going to get a long leash. They are. And they've earned it with their track record, with the contracts they have, all that stuff. If somebody gets hurt, if there's a big fall off in performance, then I think that we can have the discussion. For now, though, I think everybody's throwing reasonably well enough that that you're going to see status quo. The Giants right now are leaning on status quo. I think a big part of Bob's philosophy is, especially early in the year, let's let everybody settle into their roles. We're not going to, you know, knee-jerk react to anything right now. And I think that has been a philosophy that served this team well. That can change, though. The urgency of the season changes. That can change. For now, I think you're going to see the default be, it's working. Let's keep it the way it is.
Look, everybody wants to make moves, right? And you're sitting here, you see Bryce Eldridge hit a double, and you're dreaming about him, but he's probably far away at this current moment. But I feel like they do have an option, you know, to maybe make a move for somebody. You got guys in AAA that are just on the fringe of cracking the rotation, being a contributor on an everyday team. If you were to make a move for this team, what would you recommend that they go get? Because I have my own thoughts, but what does this team need right now? Like, they're not hitting lefties that great. There's a couple guys that are doing well. I mean, a first base DH guy to spell Wilmer? What are you looking at in particular?
Yeah, I think number one, getting Gerard Encarnacion healthy is going to help this team. Give Wilmer a little more rest time. You know, Wilmer, they are going to be careful with Wilmer because they just need to protect his health. And even DHing, but doing it every single day, is going to be taxing for him. So Encarnacion's going to help. You're right to identify the left-handed problem, man. It's confounding to me. This team on paper should kill left-handers. And they are, 2-7 against left-handed starters this year? Their record against right-handed starters is amazing. And that is the opposite of what I think you would expect if you just looked at this team on paper. They need, you know, Matos, if you're going to be the right-handed side of a platoon and you don't hit lefties, that there is not a big role for you. Mm-hmm. You're seeing Mike Yastrzemski, you know, last night the Giants are down by a run late against a left-handed pitcher, and Yaz stays in the game. And that's, you know, that's been happening over and over again. And the reason is because Matos hasn't hit lefties at all. And so that is hurting this team right now. Like, it's one thing to say we're going to stick with our lineup, stick with our guys. It's another thing to really not feel like you've got an option off the bench when you're down late in a game. And that's kind of the feeling that they have right now, I think. So it would really help if Matos would hit left-handers. If he's not going to, then maybe he'd be better served by being in AAA and just getting more experience and more at-bats. Everybody still believes in his talent level, but he, you know, when you're not getting many at-bats at all, and then you're not available off the bench to pinch hit against a tough lefty because you're just not hitting him, that's a tough spot. So I would say right now, this minute, assuming Lamont's going to be Lamont and be okay, which I am still assuming that, then I think that would be the number one thing that could help this Giants team.
Yeah, I mean, I know you're not going to be able to say a name. I'm going to throw a name out there, and you don't have to respond to it, but Tristan Casas from Boston would be a guy that I'd be looking at hard. I think he can be your DH, play first base. I think he hits against lefties. I mean, he's got a small sample size this year. I would like to see them get that. But outside of that, it does feel like the vibes at the ballpark in general, as you're referencing San Diego and how great it feels like it's coming back. And there was a play over the weekend, the Elliot Ramos, you know, down the line throw, and then him kind of like hesitating between second and third, and then him going, everybody called it Little League. Now, Dave, you've been to a lot of Little League games. I've seen you out there watching your son who's now in high school. And I don't mean to put your info out there, but even in Little League, we'd say, hey, let's not throw the ball around. What is it about the Giants being involved in so many of these plays over the years, I feel like?
The Bellinger one, right, Dave? Yes. I thought of that immediately.
Your famous calls.
Bellinger throws it so high. Continue.
I mean, going back to 2010, we had we kept track of RTIs, runs thrown in.
Darren Ford.
It has been a thing. I don't, you know, maybe some of it seems like a lot of it happens at home. Maybe some of it is, you know, you got the conditions of the ballpark and a night game, and sometimes teams maybe aren't fully focused or engaged the way they would be somewhere. I don't know. It's a cool thing. It's a hard thing to explain. And you're right about whatever you want to call it, the vibe, the feeling around the team. I think this is a very likable Giants team, and Giants fans are enjoying watching this team play. Even last night, Nick Pivetta has been about the best guy in the league, and he was dominating early. And then here we look up, it's the sixth inning, and Adames hits a double. Jung Hoo Lee knocks him in. Wade has that hit, and you're one swing away. Patrick Bailey is up there with the tying run at third in the sixth inning. I don't believe the last couple of years we saw much of that from the Giants. If they fell behind early, it was an uphill climb big time. And so part of why I think this team is so likable is they've been really, really scrappy and resilient, and they haven't been out of games. Like last night the third largest margin of defeat of the year for the Giants? Like they have been in every single game but one. There's one game all year. We're a month in where they have sort of been knocked out and, you know, haven't had a chance late. That's a pretty remarkable thing.
Who was Pivetta yelling at? Was he yelling at Bailey at second base on that strikeout that he had to end the inning? Or was he yelling to a teammate? What happened there?
No, he was yelling at Bailey. I think Bogaerts, it looked to me like Bogaerts signaled to the dugout. He's the one who said, we got to come out and have this meeting. And I think Diaz, the catcher, this I haven't heard this from them, but this was just my read of it. Diaz was setting up location early. I mean, in the PitchCom era, you know, in the old days, the guy at second is trying to pick up the signs. And if he can pick them up and get the signs, then he's going to relay some info if he can do it subtly. I mean, that's just been a part of the game forever. Now you can't do that with PitchCom. The only thing you can do is relay location if the catcher is setting up early and giving it away. And I think Bogaerts thought that Bailey was doing that. And so they call this meeting. I mean, it's really weird, right? It's 2-2, like the biggest at bat of the game in some ways. The Giants had a little momentum there, and Yastrzemski's right in the middle of the at bat. Time, here comes the pitching coach, like, huh? And so then one pitch later, he strikes out Yaz, and Pivetta yelled back at Bailey. I think that's what was going on.
Yeah. Talking with Dave Fleming, Giants broadcaster, here on the Morning Roast as they wrap up this quick two-game set down in San Diego later today at 1 o'clock. Roop v. King today at Petco Park. And then they got that four-game series against maybe one of the worst teams I've seen early on in baseball lately, the Colorado Rockies. My God, it has been a tough season, to say the least, for them. So hopefully the Giants can get fat and happy there. You got to take care of those games against a team like that, considering where the Padres are at, where the Dodgers and where the D-backs are. Those are almost must-wins, it feels like, Dave. Speaking of a must-win, not quite a must-win, but I know Shasky's feeling like it tonight. Big game down in Houston. I don't know if you're aware. Game 5, Warriors-Rockets. Dubs up 3-1, and Joe, you were out a couple weeks ago when we had Grandy filling in for you,
okay,
and we asked Dave to preview the series, and Dave, you know, he was like, I'd be shocked if the Houston Rockets won this series, and you know what? At this point, I also would be shocked because, you know, the history of 3-1 leads. I know, Joe, you're feeling some type of way about it when I bring it up, but in the history of the NBA in a seven-game series, Dave, as you know, 95% of the teams leading 3-1 in seven-game series go on to win said series. So mathematically, you got to feel pretty good. But given where the age is at with this team, Jimmy Butler, 35, Draymond Green, 35, Stephen Curry, 37, it's not a must win, but it feels like just to get the old guys some rest, you want to take care of business tonight, right?
Sure, but what you asked me that 2 weeks ago, and I said the Warriors are going to win this series, period. And I will say that again. They are going to win this series. So the main thing is, I mean, ideal world, yeah, you win it tonight and you get that rest. But I don't really care as long as you win the series. In the playoffs, you get enough off days built in. You can get rest. You can get refreshed. I really believe that. So whatever it takes, even if they lose tonight, they're going to come back home and they'll win game 6 and move on. They're winning this series.
Hey, be honest. What are your thoughts on one Dylan Brooks for the Houston Rockets? He's currently enemy number one here in the Bay Area.
Well, here's what I would say. If you're a Warriors fan, you cannot chirp about a guy who plays the game like that, because for 15 years, we've watched Draymond play the game. Maybe not exactly like that, but Draymond's whole act is he's going to push and shove and annoy and harass and harangue and try to get under people's skin. And Draymond is a much better player than Dylan Brooks. Draymond's going to the Hall of Fame someday. But I don't think as a Warriors fan, you've got a lot of wiggle room to just berate the way Dylan Brooks goes about it, because he's basically going out of the Draymond Green playbook with the way he plays. Different skill sets for those two guys, but I don't think the Warriors have a lot of room to complain about that.
You know, last night, I'm not sure if you caught it, but Halliburton's dad walked onto the floor and he just did some shenanigans with Giannis. As Giannis loses, it's the end of the series and Halliburton's dad's kind of rubbing it on him. And it's Halliburton, the kid's best moment in the NBA to that point, essentially. And I feel like the dad one-upped him. And, you know, you're a sports dad, right? You got, you know, obviously your daughters and your son, and now you're obviously a broadcaster, so you've got a good balance on both of these things. especially given the weekend that we had with Dion and Shador, and we've seen what happened with Team Moran, there's levels to how professional athletes' parents act, and it's all over the map. Just your general consensus as a dad, as a broadcaster, when you see things like that happen on the floor, because you're not one of those sports dads that hangs over home plate, like yelling at your kid to, like, you know, grip it tighter and to get a hit here with a 3-2 count. Like, I think you're pretty reasonable when it comes to this.
God, I hope so. for everybody listening, because there are, you know, a lot of your listeners are parents of kids who play sports. For everybody listening, if you are that mom or dad, shut up, cheer for your kid, be positive. Don't do what all these examples you're saying are. Just support your kid, get them to the games, support their interest and love of sports, and don't be that sport parent. You're not helping. You're only hurting. You are not helping your kid's cause by acting that way at all. Your kid is not benefiting from you yelling or screaming or grilling after the game and going over every detail of the game in the car ride home. Your kid does not want that. That is not helping. Just be a supportive parent and support in the way that makes your kid better. You know, if that means some extra training sessions that, you know, you dig into your wallet and support your kid that way, or just driving and getting them everywhere, whatever it is, taking them out and shooting hoops with them and, you know, having some father-son time, father-daughter time, whatever. But don't be that sports dad, please. You're not helping. You're hurting your own kid. Hey, stop it.
Hey, Dave. No, it's
love
very
you.
Well said.
God, I love you, Dave.
We really appreciate your time today. Good luck on the call later. And, let's get fat and happy here against the Rockies. I don't want anything. A split against that Rockies team would feel disappointing, Dave. I got to be honest. You got to take at least three, right?
Sure, it feels that way. But, sports doesn't work that way. They are going to, I mean, in a way, I want them to win some games. You know, win today. I just, you know, I hate it. I feel you. You know, you saw Ryan Walker. I thought Ryan Walker put it beautifully this weekend. Jock Peterson came up against him in a big spot, and after the game, he said, he's the last guy I wanted to face. Like, Jock Peterson is way better than 1-for-41 or whatever he was coming into that at bat. And it does, you know, it just scares you. You know the Rockies are going to win some games at some point. But you're right. Your big picture point is right. The Giants have had a brutally tough schedule, and they're finally getting a team. Finally, it's the first team the Giants have played all year. I guess you could say the Angels, but even the Angels are funky and a pretty talented roster overall. And the Giants still should have won that series. But other than that, this is the first sort of breather in the whole schedule, the whole year. At home against the Rockies, you want to win those games.
Dave, good stuff, man. Appreciate it, and good luck on the call later.
I'd like to win this game today.
Yes. Yeah, let's focus on the now, right?
I'm with you. Yeah.
How about the Giants and a Warriors win tonight? Will that be great? Let's get that.
I would like that.
Sign me up. I'm in.
Let's go.
That's Dave Fleming.
Dave Fleming, man.
Brought to you by Rafael Lumber and Building Supplies, serving contractors, homeowners, and the community in Marin for over 50 years. Visit their showroom today. Great stuff with Dave Fleming there. Let's carry that conversation that we had a little bit earlier. For those of you